the superintendent official. Handshake there. Now it's official. Now it's on. But John is the new superintendent at Southwest Local Schools down there. And yes, we decided that I'm going to turn off, right? So I'm on here now. So we're switching around. That way we can get a good recording. That way we've got this to be able to share with anybody that wants to go to our website that missed today. So John is the new superintendent at the Southwest Local Schools District. And he described first service. This is not, you know, he's been in the school district for a long time. How many years?
12 in the school district.
12 in the school district. 16
in education.
Total. Gotcha. So he started when he was, you know, way young, 14, I guess. And he's got one of those. So you're probably still getting carded for, like, video games when you're
in
your 20s.
I do.
Still, today. Okay. So I asked him if he would come join us. We are in the middle of a series where we've been going out from the personal life in different circles. So if we got the big circles there lined up. They're just not quite in the logo. But we've walked from the personal life to my family. And now we're in the series on school and work. And so he was able to come and share with us, and I had some questions that I prepared for him. And once I got the questions put together, I thought this is going to be kind of like a bid on a house, or like, you know, buying a used car, where I throw in the questions, because they got kind of a little thick into some areas. And so when I gave them to him, I expected fully a counter offer of, well, let's do this and this, but not this question, or not that. But we sat down, and he said, these questions look great. And I was like, really? You're going to answer these? Some of these guys. So I was pretty excited. And first service, we had a great conversation and some really cool stuff. So as we're working through these circles, I thought it'd be nice for us to get some input on what's going on in the schools now. Because things have changed drastically since when I was in school, since when he was in school, since when, you know, some of you guys were even in school. Some of our college age, just in the past 5 years, things have just, you know, there have been some major changes. So I wanted to get some insight from him as far as, you know, last week we signed a little prayer sheet that we were going to commit to pray for our schools, to pray for our children, to pray for the things going on in there, and to pray for different faculty, staff, teachers. And he had mentioned that on our list that you might want to add superintendent to that list. So you can add John Hamstra to that list. And so, John, what are, say, like the top three social struggles that kids would have, both, you know, elementary, junior, senior high, across the board?
Very good. First, let me just say a couple quick things about myself. Before we get into the struggles and fears and just some of the things that are happening in schools. My last name is very Dutch, and my grandmother actually still wears wooden clogs. I'm from Grand Rapids, Michigan, which is very Dutch. Home of Zondervan Publishing, Furniture City, USA, and so being from up north, it's a very, very Dutch community, and my grandmother goes crazy when people pronounce it Hamstra or Hamster. Oh, not that you'd be in trouble with her. She pronounces it Amstra, and they call me Johnny, but you guys can't call me that. my wife had the opportunity this summer at a family reunion to hear people say that, and she wouldn't even blink, and I'm answering to them, and she's like, who are they talking about? I was born and raised up north, went to school in San Diego for a year to play baseball, and didn't really play baseball, so I ended up back in the Midwest, and my parents had moved from Michigan to Ohio, and being from Michigan, that my dad's like, you can go to any school you want in Ohio but Ohio State, so I ended up at Miami University, which was awesome, and I had one friend that went to Miami University, and he said, you've got to see this place, it's unbelievable, and this is before the internet. So my first day of class was my first day on the campus. My dad dropped me off and drove home and said, have fun, we'll see you at Christmas. And that was it. So went to Miami and graduated from Miami in 2000. Got hired at Mason High School for 5 years to be a teacher and coach at Mason. And then actually the day my son was born was the day I was hired here as a high school assistant principal. And did that for 3 years. And then moved on to the middle school as principal following Mr. Josworth, the legend, which was never easy. And I was there for four. And then after that, became the assistant superintendent for three, and now this is my first year as superintendent. So interesting lineage, I guess. This is my eighth or ninth week as superintendent, and it started off very crazy. I read somewhere a long time ago that said, never run a levy your first year as superintendent. I said, what about week five? Will that work? But obviously a very trying start, not the way we wanted to start, but with the great people we have and the great kids we have, many that are here today, It makes it a little easier. So,
yeah, absolutely. And by the way, I didn't mention, first, I wore green.
Thank you.
To represent.
We got to get him some Kelly green.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I'm excited to be here. The band was awesome. I definitely need harmonica lessons. That was tremendous.
Jim's awesome.
8-person band's great, and obviously a lot of energy and a great vibe here. It's awesome, and I'm excited to be here. Super excited. Very different services between 1 and 2. But Dusty...
I prefaced him on that. I was sitting beside him. I was like, hey, second service is a completely different thing. But,
it's good.
But still a big family, so that's really neat. So.
It's awesome. So thank you for having me. Long story short, I love being here. We love working with the churches. They are our backbone in a lot of ways for the schools. Not just all the giving that you do. I find it hard, too, for us to reciprocate for the constant giving, not just to pop schools, but supplies for school. The 9/11 service, which is going to be awesome. Mm-hmm. So it's, other than facilities, it's sometimes hard for us to reciprocate. But getting to the 3 struggles that we see, and some of the students may be able to speak to it. They're all on their phones now. we're going to get to that because it's one of my struggles I had was focus. and it's so hard in the media-ridden age that we are in today, myself included, my kids included. I have an 11, 9, and 2-year-old. 11, 9, and 2. Focus is hard. And that's one of the struggles that we see, not just in schools, but in society. So the 3 challenges that I had, and they probably could correct me on this because it's not true for every student, but in elementary and in the secondary schools, I think fitting in is still a struggle. It was a struggle for us when we were in school. Yeah. It still is today. And one of the challenges we have is not necessarily race, but our challenge is socioeconomic. We have students that live in trailers with dirt floors, and we have students that live in multimillion-dollar homes. So to combine those 2 worlds is sometimes very difficult. Those that have a lot and those that have very little. And as a school system, we're often in the middle because we're educating every kid regardless of what experiences you have or where you're from. So I would say the fitting in piece is still very real for our schools. And it's not so much race today as it is socioeconomic. That's a big piece. Another one would have been focus. And I joke about it, but I'm serious too, that because we're bombarded with so many messages in a given day with social media and it's so real, that a lot of times putting your phone down and just taking in the moment is a challenge for our students today. And then lastly, basic needs. We have kids that literally the best 7 hours of their day are with us. And when they leave for spring break, Christmas break, and the 3 summer months, it is a serious battle for them to get fed, to get clothed, and get cared for. So to be the best 7 hours is great for us, but it's also gut-wrenching knowing that when they leave, the next 17 aren't going to be near as good. So kids will say they hate school. What'd you learn? Nothing. But ultimately, that is a source of refuge for a lot of our kids from K to 12.
And that's something we've helped out with that in numerous different ways. Our Christmas baskets that we do, helping out the kids with the school supplies next door and different things. But that's an area where we can, definitely, as we're praying, and someone reminded me that the prayer sheets out there are white, so we've got a blue sample up here. But the ones out there, if you're looking for them, they'll be white at the information center. But as you're praying for the kids, it's great to have the prayer and to be able to pray for that. But if we've got some things that we can do some things about, the more we can help out in those areas to help these kids. Mr. Kelly's story last week about how kids just want to feel normal. We can help with that, and we do help with that. But I'm hoping that there's some things, maybe some sparks that happen this Sunday and throughout this series that, hey, here's some other way that we can help out, or this is another way we can help out, and just continue to partner more and more with the school system. You don't get this anywhere else. This is, we are very blessed to be able to sit. I'm sitting here, first service, we have communion before the sermon, and so I was sitting right beside Johnny.
Careful.
I was sitting right beside John. And we were taking communion, and I know I've shared with you guys before, just when we're in communion time, just to think about, we're taking communion here, but then there's people down in Haiti, and they're taking communion. There's people in India, and they're taking communion, and we're all part of the same family. But it meant a little something different to be sitting side by side with John here, the superintendent of the Southwest Local School District, separation of church and state, which isn't the case here, which that's been all messed up, but that's a different subject. I preached that a few weeks ago. But to be able to sit there and take communion together, side by side, knowing Jesus died for him, he died for me, he worships God, he believes in God, he loves God, same as I do. And it was just neat to be able to sit side by side with a guy that's that's over, and a lot of the faculty, a lot of the leaders in our Southwest Local School District, same thing, which is just awesome to know that we can have this kind of partnership. So for us to get a foot in the door, to be able to help out, there's more to it than just helping them out. We are sharing a witness, not only to him and his staff and faculty, but also to the students that we care. And not every school system's that way. We're in the midst of like 7 or 8 different districts that our church connects with. And so Southwest is one of our main ones, but we've got a bunch of other school systems. And so to be able to open this door and other ones would be amazing. So those are social struggles. Some of those are new for us. Some of them really about the same things that we've dealt with. But fears are quite a bit different than what they were when I went to school. Fears are different just within the past decade. Things have just really changed there. So what would you say the top 3 fears would be for a student, elementary, junior high, senior high?
Something I didn't mention last time, earlier today, but I think the fear of failure is very real, to where people don't want to take risk. Not just kids, but also adults. The fear of stepping outside your comfort box a little bit and to try something new, to learn something new, whether it's cooking, whether it's sailing, you name it, to try something different is a fear that some have. I see the social media backlash as being huge.
You're talking about bullying.
Yes, social media bullying. Fake Facebook pages, Instagram accounts, kids getting brought through the ringer online for anything and everything. We've had situations where we've had to work with the Hamilton County Sheriff, the Harrison PD, Department of Homeland Security, on working through international situations where photos were shared and spread like wildfire. And when the FBI starts knocking on your door and you're meeting with guys in black suits, which I wear sometimes with the shades, the kids always ask, are you in the FBI? I said, no, CIA. But when they start knocking on your door because you've got pictures being transmitted, inappropriate pictures being transmitted, which then turns into a felony across state lines, we're real close to Indiana and Kentucky, wow. It becomes serious real fast.
Yeah.
So we've had situations like that where that just, you know, social media savviness and doing what's right. And when you look on the back of this and you talk about what are we praying for, being thankful, doing the right thing, getting help when people are hurting, those are all very, very real, very near pieces. So social media backlash is another fear that I think a lot of kids have. The bullying has taken on a new, you know, back in the day it was face-to-face, so the word would spread like telephone. To say 25 people in a day, now it's one click and it's 500 or 1,500 people that get that message or that picture, which is pretty scary.
Well, you had to have some size on you to be a bully back in the day.
Correct. Now it's really easy.
Or you'd have to be crazy. If you're little and crazy, you could bully.
Right.
Or you had to be big to bully.
Right.
Now, anybody can do it. You know, you've got keyboard warriors back there, and they've got courage to say things and do things that you'd never do in person. Those of us who are, you know, 30 and above, did you get social bullied? We didn't even have social media. Isn't it amazing? It wasn't that long ago that you know, things were so much different. And this is what kids are dealing with. And as I said, it's instant. Instagram, that's what it's there for. But it's instant, it's immediate that these things happen. So that's 1, 2. Is there a 3rd fear?
I'd say standing for something. Sometimes it's hard to stand for something, to be about something, just because there is that negative recourse. And I'm not saying all kids deal with that. We got kids here with a lot of courage. I know that. I know several of them. But standing for something and standing strong on that belief, which will kind of segue into our next point, I think is super important. And sometimes people are fearful of that. They kind of blow with the wind because it's easier that way.
So with that, so I know teachers' hands are tied. There are certain rules and regulations where they can and can't share certain beliefs and faiths. And I know there's, she's not here today, but I've got an ex-teacher a retired teacher, that she was like, I used this and I did this to try and bring it in this classroom. But our students, they're not held to that. What are things that students can do to share their faith that you would encourage? Here are some ways that really work well to share your faith and your beliefs nothing stands against it as far as faculty, school regulations, whatnot.
Typically in the first week of school, you get to know your teachers and the kids get to know one another, and it's kind of a get-to-know-each-other period. And a lot of times, teachers will ask students to make poster boards or pictures, bring in things that symbolize you and what you're about. And I think that is a great time to kind of set the tone at the start of the school year to say, faith is very important to me. Faith is number one to me. Faith, family, friends, whatever your priorities are. My kids did the same thing. They brought their poster boards into school, and they had a cross at the center and said, faith is number one for me. Family is number two, and they had pictures of our family around that. And then number three, friends, and they showed all the pictures of hanging out with people. So the first week is a great opportunity, I believe, to really share what you're about, what you stand for. And I think it really helps to set the tone for the school year as well for our kids.
That's potent. I mean, for those of you guys returning, you know, you're in school now. When you get an opportunity, share those things. And this is coming from the superintendent. And we'll talk about some out-of-bounds stuff in a few minutes. But if they're sharing, and this is one of the questions I thought was going to get rejected. And he was like, no, these are fine. I was like, really? We're going to go there? But if a student's sharing and they feel like their First Amendment rights to religion expression is being challenged by a staff or faculty member, what would you suggest that they do? We want to be peaceable. We want to be respectable. But we don't want to get shut down either. If you're sharing, students, you have a right to freedom of expression, freedom of religion. So if that's challenged or they feel repressed in some way, what can they do? What would you say? Here's the protocol. Here's the procedure.
Our chain of command is always to the teacher and then to the principal. And I would say that's probably the best avenue, or to an adult, sometimes to a counselor, to say that, hey, I'm kind of being I feel like I'm being stepped on a little bit here. And really, to say what you believe in and say, this is what I believe and this is what I'm about, there's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
And we've had people that believe in different faiths, different religions. We can't say, no, you're wrong, we're right, and that's because. But at the same time, to say, this is what I'm about, my priorities are faith, family, friends. I can't see a teacher in our district saying, no, you can't be about that.
Right.
No one's going to say that. So when you start throwing down...
Well, we do have other districts present, so that would be, okay. Yeah, what they could do as well.
I'd go to the principal then at that point and ask, why would this be the case? If you're not throwing down on people and saying, you need to believe this because I'm right, you're wrong, that's where it starts getting fuzzy.
Right, and that was the next question we had was so we know what's in bounds, what's out of bounds, and that's where that was going.
When you start projecting on other people, that's where it starts to get ugly.
Okay.
And that's where the line starts to get crossed. And there are some, especially in this community, that would say, no, just keep going.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm an adamant believer, and I believe you should believe, and Jesus died for you as well, so you need to believe. That's where it starts getting a little touchy in a school setting. And that's where we talk, when you take that outside of school, and people say, I always say through influence, people know whether you believe in something higher than here. People say there's just something different about you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's through influence. That's through your behavior. That's through integrity, which you're going to speak to today.
I did not set that up. How many times have you guys heard that?
Second.
Out of my mouth. Here, it's people will ask you questions. If you live different, you look different, they're going to ask you questions. So,
right.
So yeah, that wasn't even set up at all. So that was exciting. So that's out of bounds. So what he's saying is that you can share who you are, what you believe in, all that, but when you start saying, well, you're wrong, or this, that, and the other thing, you know, you're Buddhist and you're wrong, or you're Muslim and you're wrong, or whatever, that's when we start getting iffy on getting out of the, not iffy, but you're out of bounds when it comes to what they can allow in the school. We want to do as much as we can in the school so that we keep the relationship we have, so that we keep the open doors that we have. But if you want to share outside of that, and that the churchy word is proselytizing, you know, to work an evangelical method with someone, then you can always take that off campus. It's kind of like in the olden days, if you want to mess someone up, you know, you couldn't do it in the hallway, but if you took them off campus, you know, you could. So it's the same. So we want to take that mentality towards sharing our faith. To say, you know, once you get to a point with someone, if you're at the point where you're saying, you know what, I'd like to talk to you about my faith, I'd like to share with you a little more, but I can't do that in school, I want to be respectful, and I think that's a huge witness also. I want to be respectful to the system and what they've allowed here. Can we meet for lunch, or can we talk sometime, or can we, you know, meet on one of those social medias or whatever? But there's a lot of stuff there. And this one was from first service, kind of seemed a little bit of a moot point with our school system. The question was, what kind of harassment have you seen in the school systems? And his answer first was with our Southwest local schools is really not much. But you did say there's that fear of standing out. Of what causes that then? What's the?
I think it's more internal.
No pushback.
I think it's more internal. When I was at Miami University Campus Crusade for Christ, we were asked to witness to people in the cafeteria one day at Shriver Center. For those of you familiar with Oxford. And that was probably the most challenging thing I ever encountered at the college level, having to step out, stand out, and speak with a total stranger. So I think there's just internally there's that battle that we experience sometimes on sharing our faith. So But I have not had, as a principal or assistant principal, or you don't really deal much with discipline as assistant superintendent, but I've not had many students come to me saying, I have kids harassing me due to my faith. Very, very rare.
Yeah.
I can't think of really one situation off the top of my head even to speak to. So I don't see that happening very often. I think there is, for whatever reason, just like when I was in college, that internal fear sometimes. But I haven't seen it much.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's encouraging to see that. And then one last little thing. I know when I was growing up in school, we had things like FCA, Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Some of you guys who are dinosaurs probably remember that one with me. But my question was, what organizations exist for kids? And are there other organizations that exist in other districts that you're like, man, this is a really cool idea. I wish some students would do it. We can't do it, but some students could open the door here. So what are... You mentioned a couple of them, first service.
The two that we have are Wildlife at the junior high and Young Life at the high school. Like, Young Life's been around for a while, back when I was in school. But Young Life is primarily for high school students, and Wildlife is for middle school students. And both are pretty well attended, to my knowledge. And then we have several youth groups that are very involved with different service projects. They come help paint the playground equipment in the summer. They help spruce up some of the landscape in the late fall. So we've got several youth groups involved. Wildlife and Young Life are big ones. And one other piece I wanted to mention, and something I think that's important with the schools and separation of church and state, is once we open the door to religious organizations, we open the door to everybody. And I don't know if you've seen recently, there's now a satanic after-school club that's forming nationwide. It's been in the paper, U.S. News and World Report, CNN, and some of the local media. And basically what these groups are doing is saying, if you guys are going to keep pressing down the Christian faith on our kids and schools, then we're going to bring the other side and say, let's keep it wide open. And when schools open the door for youth group or youth leaders to come in and help out during lunchtime or to come to dances and help chaperone and volunteer in the schools, then we have to open the door to everybody. So if the Satanic Church of whatever, Salem, Massachusetts, came to us and said, hey, we want to do an after school as well, and you open the door to Wildlife and Young Life, we'd like to be part of this as well. And that's within their right. So either we open the door or we shut the door. And fortunately here, it's been, obviously, this is a very conservative community and very faith-based community, which is important. That's why a lot of people move here and stay here. But knowing that, I think it's important people understand the other side and the risk that we take as schools. That when you open the door, it's not just to one side, you have to open the door. So it's very real. If you go home and I know it sounds crazy to Google, like, the Satanic Church After School Club, just make sure you delete your cookies afterwards.
My history last week has all sorts of, because the sermon has the Satan stuff in it. I've got a history from last week with a lot of satanic
They're putting statues up, like at courthouses. If there's the Ten Commandments posted, they're putting statues of Satan up on the other side. And just like the KKK and these other groups that are very fringe on the other side, they're coming and saying, if you open the door, America, we're coming in too. And so I think that's important to understand, that there is a risk involved by us doing that. I have no problem being here today because this is my personal time. My kids are a little tweaked that I'm here because Sunday we protect as a family. We put the cell phones away and we spend time together. And our routine's all thrown off because Dad's not here, and he's going to a new church, and we're not going. So it's
they could come.
I know. My wife had to do a Bible study this morning. She taught Sunday school this morning.
Gotcha.
She couldn't be here. But bottom line is, this is me being here. This is me as an individual, not me the school. Which sometimes people have a hard time separating. They see me in a suit, they see me in jeans and a t-shirt, like, is that him? Who is that? But. This is me as an individual coming here to speak with you guys today.
It's Johnny Homster.
It is Johnny Homstra.
Homster.
I wish my grandma could come down.
I don't know. She'd kick me with her wooden shoes.
She's hardcore. She is hardcore. But very frugal Dutch woman. But I think that's also a piece that people need to get. Even at our teacher work day. One of the songs that we played behind the slideshow with family photos from the summer was Lincoln Brewster. So there is a serious undertone, I believe, in what we do in treating people right. And you know, our core values, trust, respect, ownership, leadership, they all parallel what you guys teach here
right.
Every Sunday and throughout the week. So it's doing the right thing. And when no one's looking, we talk about integrity all the time. You talk about integrity and stepping out and standing out in faith and standing out with action, not just words. Mm-hmm. Knowing that grace, we need grace. We make mistakes. I make mistakes constantly, which there's people here that can definitely attest to.
That was ironic. That was on that song, wasn't it?
Yes.
The need for grace
fit.
On a song about
they
grace.
All fit. That we're going to make mistakes and we have to own up to them, which is one of our core values. And when we do mess up, say, hey, man, I messed up. I'm sorry. So that's all. There's so much overlap. And I think it was set up that way at the very beginning of this country for a reason. So we just want to continue that. And really, as a community, Miami Town, wherever you're from, wherever you live, to move in one direction. Because if we're on a tandem bike with 15 different communities and someone steps on the brakes, guess what? The whole bike stops. So we want to make sure everyone's pedaling and doing their part and as a community. And when that happens, good things will happen.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I love this. I love that we can do this.
Yeah.
And thanks so much for taking time
no
away
problem.
From your family and coming out to us. If
no
you guys
problem.
Give John a quick hand.
Thank
and
you.
He's got a cutout. He had someone. Are you going back to deal with that car?
No,
the
no.
Drive-through?
I coach my son's baseball team.
Oh, okay.
Meeting today.
Awesome.
Thank you so much.